Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 61 of Forever Strength. I'm Andrew Coates, I've got Bailey Lau with me, and we have something different today. We've got a new series we're going to start, we'll sprinkle these in, and we've actually brought one of the members of our Forever Strength program, Mary Ann Russell's here. She was the first one to volunteer, and as opposed to, we'll still bring coaches on sometimes, but I think this is actually a little bit more of an honest, revealing, real conversation. We want to kind of plumb the depths of what your experience has been like, you know, what you've done in the past, what hasn't worked, what works for you now. And so Bailey's got some questions teed up, but I just want to say thanks for coming on. Thanks for like being willing to come on in front of other people who are probably listening going, hey, you're just like us. And that's what I wanted to channel. Is right. I find the real person, not the coach who's got a good Instagram.
My pleasure. So I guess, Ryan, just start with a little bit of an introduction about you and how you found us.
Oh, okay. I'm 63 years old, mother of seven, grandmother of six, and I have been strength training for over 30 years. But my background is I have a nursing degree. I've got experience in various areas of nursing, but I'm semi-retired and I'm actually an office manager for legal right now, something completely different. But what got me started 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, because I was about age 30, was I had part of my training involved a nutrition and exercise component module. So us nurses are pretty, you know, up on physiology, anatomy and physiology. And what that exercise module did was open myself up to some strength training plus some aerobic. Now, back in the late 70s, 80s, it wasn't anywhere near developed as it is now. And by the time I was about 30, I realized being a nurse, my back was beginning to have some problems. And I told myself I was too young to have back problems and hip problems and leg problems, you know, the 12-hour shifts. And you do end up doing a fair bit of lifting, even with all the machinery around med-surg. And I started, I noticed another nurse had just amazing shoulders and arms. And I said, what are you doing? She says, oh, I lift weights. And I went, oh, yeah, yeah. And remember my exercise module and started lifting weights when I was about 30. I had four more children after that. I'd had three children by then. I had four more children after that. So I continued to lift weights in between pregnancies and postpartum and did a bunch of other sports as well. But it wasn't really until I was 40 that I learned about progressive overload with strength training. I knew the muscle groups and I would train, you know, the bis, tris, delts, the quads, the hams, and do some aerobic. But I really didn't know that much about progressive overload. So began learning about that with a guy who was around the year 2000 named Bill Phillips. And Bill Phillips was out of Colorado and he had a whole, you know, the 12-week competitions, the 13-week competitions. But he wrote a book and in it, he talked about progressive overload. And my husband and I began in our 40s doing some of that, not for the competition, but just to be healthier. We had seven children by then. John was working, my husband, in quite a demanding law practice, and I was beginning to join him and plus do some a little bit more education. So, but strength training became foundational in our everyday lives. So it all started with a sore back as a nurse and ended up just learning over the years. I would say in the last several years, though, since I got on Instagram, I wasn't an Instagram follower until just fairly recently, and found you guys and Andrew. Like, you guys are out of Edmonton, which is just over the Rockies from me. So it was kind of nice to have some Canadians to follow that were really helpful online with a lot of really good information. And so that's how then when you mentioned that there was a Forever Strength group I joined this year. I'd never joined anything. I've done it all on my own. So it's new for me being with you guys with this program. And I will say, it's made it a lot easier for me, because I realized I was overtraining before. So I would do, you know, upper lower split, 4 day split, and but double up on exercises. And what I've found with your program is that it simplified things, still had the progressive overload, still had the increase in weights. Not maybe every week, but you know, like certainly since the beginning, my strength has increased. And it's just an efficient, and the camaraderie online on Facebook, I really like it. It's I'm surprised at that, but I'm really enjoying being part of an online community in a different way. So I think we're social creatures as humans. You can't, you know, I have my own home gym, so I don't tend to go to a gym, though once in a while I'll mix it up. So it's been very nice for me. And you guys do all the programming. I print it out on Sundays when Bailey mails it to us, and I follow it. I still do my 4 day split, but anyway, I'm quite happy with the way things are going.
We didn't plan this as that much of a commercial for it. I can't, like, honestly, I can hear how enthusiastic you are. So, like, you're a natural at this, by the way. Anybody listening, like, especially the people who already do our group who are going to try to drag on here, I know a lot of people are going to be too scared to come on, but you're obviously really comfortable. You mentioned a couple of things I definitely want to hit on. Something that's a complicated thing, but you mentioned how you're lifting at work. And, well, I've worked with a lot of people in healthcare, and here's the thing. Humans are getting heavier, especially the people that are ending up in the healthcare system. And there are some very complex stuff going on in our society. But as this affects healthcare workers, especially nurses and paramedics, where it shows up, like, that's the front line. Guess what? You guys have to be strong, because there are a lot of people who work in that environment who are out because of physical injuries. And some of it is to do with not having the strength to be able to lift. And it's not like picking up a symmetrical barbell that's not moving against you. You're dealing with a large, you know, dead weight that, like, doesn't just sit still, in a sense. So these are complicated things. And I mean, there's no shame in that. The reality is just, this is beyond some people's control. But the reality we're facing is, in the healthcare system, you guys are physically having to move larger and larger people more frequently on average. So the second thing I was gonna say is, you're really ahead of the curve. Like, there weren't necessarily women embracing strength training at the rate they are now 30 years ago. You mentioned aerobics, and the first thing I thought of was, hey, Jane Fonda and, like, that sort of stuff. And I still think that was a big net positive. It was a part of the gateway. So, I mean, I just think it's really cool that you got on this at that point, when you weren't necessarily seeing a lot of women embracing it.
Yeah, thank you. It was, I mean, I did a little rowing back in the day, and those were the only women that I knew that really pushed heavy in the gym. And they really did. They had fantastic physiques. But the aging adult, myself being, now that I'm 63, being one of them, what do I want to be like in another 10 years, in another 20 years, in another 30 years? I mean, longevity runs in my family. You know, my family lives till well into their 90s, age 100, 101. How do I want to be? You know, I need to do as much as I can to maximize my physical potential now, not just for bone health, though that's very important, not just nutrition, though that's a piece of who I am as well, but looking down the road, I want to be able to get myself out of bed. If I trip and stumble, I want to be able to get myself off the floor. If I'm sitting in a comfortable couch, I see so many older women especially, they can't get off the couch with a little help. you know, that their late 70s into their 80s. And I think that there's clear evidence that strength training earlier and earlier in life allows you to be able to live a life that, well, maybe not always injury-free, because, hey, you go skiing and stuff happens, or you ride your bike and you slip on something, you know, like it, crap happens.
But you wake up and something hurts, right?
Yeah,
you reach in the right. shower the wrong way and something hurts, okay? Like, you 20-somethings yeah. listening, I know this stuff is foreign to you. You get into your 40s, I promise you, just weird shit yeah. happens out of nowhere.
Yeah, it does. And the aches and pains do increase. What strength training and you know, I get my steps in and do tennis and do other things as well. But what strength training is, it's foundational for all sorts of sports, whether you're swimming or walking or biking or tennis, or the muscle mass and the joint range of motion that goes into lifting is a allows you to do the things you enjoy. I can lift my grandkids up. If I go shopping and want to buy 10 kilograms, which is over 20 pounds in the US, of flour, I have no problem lifting that, bring it into the house. I have a water softener. I have 40 kilogram bags of, or 20 kilogram bags of rock salt, which is over, what, 45 pounds or whatever. I can bring that into the house. And I'm not, you know, my back isn't sore for 2 weeks after. So it's a health benefit to our society to promote strength training. And older adults can learn it even if they've never done it. They can make gains. They can be in a better physical state than they are now, no matter where they start. I mean, I've seen people in wheelchairs that start with some, and balance goes into that too, because balance and strength and joint range of motion, etc. The older adult, I think there's you know, information out there between Facebook and Instagram and other social, but more word needs to go out there, because the cost on our health system with heavier, older, more infirm, pre-diabetic and diabetic, heart disease adults is huge. So genetics aside, sometimes, you know, you have diabetes, it runs in the family. Well, if it's type 2 diabetes, you can do something about it. You can start strength training. You can make those shifts, I will say, because sometimes people do it in a radical way and they go on all sorts of crazy diets and throw themselves into it. But the lifestyle you want to have is being built now. The lifestyle you want to have in the future is being built now. So anyway, I've gone on at length.
You didn't need any prompting. I'm sure Bailey's got some stuff to ask you, but you didn't need any.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Bailey. I'm taking
it. Well, you're answering the questions before I even answer them. So that's good. So with the starting over 30 years ago in strength training, which is almost unheard of for women, what do you find that's changed over the years? And was there anything sort of, you know, even women now, the, oh, don't lift or you'll get too bulky sort of thing still exists, unfortunately. So is there anything that you sort of had to navigate your way through starting strength training as a woman, you know, before it was even popular?
Yeah. Well, if you walked into a weight room in the 80s, it was mostly all bros. And right. So the lifting bro club was there, and it was a little intimidating as a woman. So I ended up buying free weights. I just started. I mean, I had enough knowledge of anatomy and physiology to know, okay, I got to hit the major muscle groups here. So I just started. And I think that might be the hardest thing for women is walking into a gym, unless it's a women-only gym, and starting and asking for help. And you can get the information online, but how do you know how to sift out the fitfluencer crap, I'll call it, from the legit science-based, evidence-based programs? It's not easy. There's too much out there now. So we've gone from what I saw as hardly anything in the 80s to an overabundance of people yapping at you, getting to try their programs, but not necessarily doing it in a way that's sustainable or healthy or safe. So I would suggest anyone getting started now, like if you know someone who lifts weights, ask them, will you come with me? Will you show me what you do? You know, someone whose physique you might admire. Gee, you got nice shoulders and arms. How did you do that? And they'll, most people are really wanting to share what they know, and then gradually, and just being open to learn. So whatever age you're at, you know, you can, I hope to be a lifelong learner. The research changes, the machines out there have gotten better, just how to lift safely. And some of the old exercises weren't great exercises for your joints and your back. You know, some of the ones where you would kind of use gravity to haul a bar up instead of taking your time, slowing it down and looking at your arm moments, for example, instead of, you know, not everyone wants to be a power lifter, but there's people out there. Everyone knows someone who likes to work out, and we'll call them health nuts, but they're not. They're living a healthy lifestyle and they're tapped into their nutrition and their training, and they enjoy feeling and moving their body without pain. So I really encourage people to, and short of that, if you don't know anybody, which would be very shocking if anyone didn't know anybody, but go to a gym and ask the trainers, make sure they're a certified PT and get in there and, you know, after your doctor gives you the okay, like get in there and just start a basic program and learn. I think you got to be really honest with yourself too. And so as a going on senior, hey, I guess I am a senior because I get the Denny's discount at Denny's now. So I'm a senior moment. Hey, as a senior, you don't know it all. It is a little intimidating, and I see so many women who have just given up, but there's always hope. There's always something you can do. And I see them, I go in for my mammograms and there we are sitting, waiting for our time to go in and get our mammograms. And I'm sitting beside women who, you know, they've got the apple body or they're older and they're tired. And then we get chatting and it turns out they're about my age. They're in their 60s. But somewhere along the way, they gave up that they sit. They're sedentary. They're eating the high fat, high, you know, food. And they gave up, though. They gave up on the movement. They gave up on making some muscle, shifting their lifestyle. But it's never too late, you know. Well, maybe if you're on your deathbed, it's too late. But short of that, you know, care facilities, they should be putting money into having strength training with the folks in the wheelchairs that can do it. And you know, there's so much that I can see potential wise that we can do for our seniors. Instagram's been great. There's some great seniors on there that just have amazing physiques that some of them didn't start till they were in their 60s. And here they are in their 70s and 80s. They're fantastic. And they're leading groups and they're encouraging people.
You remind me so much
out there
of Susan Niebergall, actually, because you guys are right at the same
age. I love her. I follow her.
Good. She's been a previous guest. If anybody's listening to this, go back, look for the Susan episode. She's dynamic. And your story's not that dissimilar because she found strength training, well, I think you may have found it even earlier than she did, but she found it, but she got into a career in fitness much later, you know, when she eventually retired from being a teacher. But I find that it's really remarkable listening to you, because like the knowledge base and then the depth of the nuance is so advanced. And quite frankly, I mean, you come off as having more tact and deft with this than I find a lot of coaches do on their social media, right? A lot of people talk in absolutes, where you seem to really capture the essence of how I think this should be approached. So it's no wonder you're successful. I mean, I'm now honored. Here you are going in with this much knowledge that you'd jump in on our program, and you're enjoying what we're doing and find it this valuable to you, where you are already coming in so skilled. So no, I'm blown away. I think this is cool.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really flattered, but Susan is a rock star. She's a good teacher. She breaks everything down. And I think those are the best coaches. They listen, and they, you know, people are DMing them all this. She's quite popular, and for good reason. And there's a couple other sort of older people I follow. There's one gal, she's in her 80s now, Ernestine Shepherd. She's out of the States, back east, eastern states somewhere. And she does fitness classes with older women. She walks with them. She's there to encourage. African-American gal, you should see her shoulders. Oh my goodness, those are my goals. Ernestine shoulders in my 80s.
Yeah, I've seen her.
Yeah, it's well, then,
sorry. So then you have all this knowledge coming into the program, and you said that you'd like to maintain being that lifelong learner. Is there anything that you took from our program specifically that maybe other people would be, it would be beneficial for them to learn they joined?
I think there's a lot to be said about, I'm in a small city called Williams Lake, and there's not a lot of Marianne Russell kind of people that like to do stuff that I do. So being in an online community has been beneficial for that connectedness at this time of my life. I think I was really ready for it. So it was kind of interesting how it came about for me. I'd like to continue that. The other thing, your program has been really great, because there's a lot of flexibility in it. You gave us a long list of subs with each exercise. I'd never had one of those before that you could, basic stuff with a few muscle groups that I could sub out. But if something's not feeling good with one exercise, well, there's like several subs for each one. That's huge. So when we got our week one workouts program, I went through it and went, oh, okay, well, I don't have a leg press. What can I sub in instead? Oh, there's like five different exercises I can sub in for a leg press. Or I could go to the gym and mix it up a little bit. I usually do that in the winter, but in the summer I don't. So it's been wonderful, the flexibility that, and I think the other thing is both you and Andrew have been available online and very responsive. That doesn't always happen with online coaching, and a good coach should be responsive. I mean, it's a group situation with this program, but I know that people that do one-to-one, if you don't have a coach that is responsive within a certain time to get back to you, I think that's a bit of a red flag. You're paying for this program, and especially have a one-to-one situation. And that brings me to the last point. Your price was really reasonable. I'm Canadian. It was in Canadian funds. And that was great. There's someone in Canada that does this, because most of them that I follow do tend to be out of the States, with a few exceptions. And so you're converting to American money. Well, that's about 25% more right now. So that makes a difference if someone's on a budget. So for the budget-minded people that are listening to this, it's a good deal. And the next one is coming up in another few weeks, I believe. The next start.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to sign up. And even though I know you said it's a glute focus, and I'm a little going, well, I don't know, glute focus, what does that mean? But I'm going to learn some new things, and I'm coming on board. So just give you two the heads up about that. And
we appreciate it. Well, first of all, it isn't just glutes. It's not like, okay, here's like four glute focused lectins. They're still upper body. So it'll be all of that. The comment about the group as well, where we buy time to do what really matters, which is the individualized touch points as needed when someone's has questions, we save by having a framework that, like you said, has flexibility, but also the right people self-select us. We can't be everything to everyone. In fact, a lot of people go for fat loss marketing, right? And a lot of the stuff there. And honestly, some of it is fine. Some of it is kind of awful. But we're ready for people who are a little bit tired of being always focused on weight loss. Now, guess what? Our program is phenomenal for fat loss to support you if your nutrition's dialed in towards fat loss. It's amazing for it, right? I think anybody who's trying to lose weight should be focused on strength, because it gets really annoying to watch the unpredictable fluctuations on a scale. You know, the, hey, I go eat a high carb meal or more sodium, and all of a sudden the scale's up 2 pounds the next day and you get really discouraged. That's no way to live, right? That gets discouraging. But if you notice you're getting stronger all the time and making progress, and you see muscle definition, the mirror is a little different over time. That is something that's really enduring. And I just think it's a completely different way to think about your experience about fitness. I can't imagine only being fixated on being small and fat loss. But how many women, and guys too, but I mean, this is definitely a bit more towards women. How many women have been indoctrinated within this belief system, often and through no fault of their own mothers, but they're hearing the language about dieting from their moms, because that's what their moms were indoctrinated in. That's what marketing, that's what has been pushed through celebrity media a lot. Like, you get tabloid magazines, everything is about, you know, how thin or whatever's going on with Kim Kardashian or Oprah, what have you. You got Oprah. And I'm a little hard on Oprah about this one. People could love their Oprah, but Oprah was the ultimate model of, hey, here's the diet of the month, fad, extreme yo-yo stuff, only to rebound, right? And people watch that stuff for years. A lot more to Oprah. But that specific thing actually massively, massively toxic. But back on track, we just appreciate the kindness. Any big parting wisdom you'd want to share with anybody listening?
Well, you don't get me started about the whole diet culture, because as women, we're taught to be, you know, littler and which is basically less than, be less than you are. What weight training does is support more. You can be stronger. You can be more confident with that strength. You can see that, the definition that you've worked so hard at coming out and do it, you're able to do things that you were never, you become more so. And I think that the support for, and yes, healthy nutrition is in there, but it's not about the weight. It's about the health benefits being, your body composition being, I would say, leaner. So, for example, I'll give you my weight. I just did a targeted deficit in the spring to uncover some of the fat that I had put on doing a growth period of strength in the fall and into the winter. So in around February or so, I went into a deficit of about 20% less for about 16 weeks, carefully, and uncovered fat. And now I've got some muscle definition or muscles showing, because I lost a little bit of fat, but it wasn't the weight. I'm 152 pounds and my body composition is completely different. And I'm 5'6", by the way, but my 152 pounds is a completely different body comp, lifting heavy with progressive overload, than it was 152 with no weightlifting. I was, what do they call it when you're skinny? It's like you're skinny fat if you don't have any muscle. So when you go on a diet, if you're figuring, oh, I'm just going to go on a diet, and you're not going to strength train, you end up being skinny fat. You have nothing to show. You just end up with, if you're a pear shape before you become a skinny pear. there's no difference. Now, genetics being genetics, some women are curvier in the hips, whatever. Weight training, strength training maximizes your shape. It allows for more balance. So you have bigger shoulders, you balance out your shoulders, you're working on your delts and your buys and tries, and that and your lats, and that balances out someone who's a curvy girl. They look fantastic. It's not about the weight. The weight is only one data point. That's about mass. The weight training is about a body recomp, less fat on you, and some fat is always going to be necessary for health, of course, but more muscle. So the mindset of shifting from, oh, I got to go on a diet because I gained 5 pounds. Well, you can gain 5 pounds easily eating, you know, a lot of salt and a lot of inflammation from a heavy workout. And, you know, there could be various reasons. It's only a data point. Ann Fitlab, I can't remember her last name. She's out of Montreal. Ann Fitlab talks about weight being a data point. She's on Insta.
I'll find her.
And she's a fantastic resource. She's basically does a pep talk every day. Every
Ann
weekday.
Martin.
Ann Martin. That's Ann her. Martin.
She was supposed to speak at my friend Aram's event, the one I was speaking at in last March, where Juan Delagoski and Jessica Gunn and some of our other past guests all spoke. And I don't know what ended up happening. Sometimes speakers drop out, things come up, but yeah, I'm actually familiar with her. She's great.
Yeah, she's a really good one to follow for getting your head straightened out about the difference between like the diet culture and the scale being only a data point. It's just fantastic. I've learned a lot from her, even at my advanced senior years here. But
it's very, very evident just how much, you know, you're talking about, like, the fact that you gain weight from inflammation from a workout. Few people even know that or think about that. So, like, you're exposing yourself to some really good stuff. So everybody listening, like, take some cues from this, right? And I could tell that you have a passion and curiosity to learn more. Bailey and I share that. I pulled up this book that I had nearby. So if you guys are familiar with Molly Galbraith and Girls Gone Strong, Molly's a friend, and she has gifted both of us with her menopause coaching specialist certification. Now, doing this 13 years, I know a lot. I don't know much about this. A lot of my clientele are going to be affected by this. So this is interesting. I'm loving it. I'm doing a Renaissance Periodization Nutrition course and a biomechanics course I signed up for. I start in like 2 weeks. I'm always hungry to learn. I love this stuff. But
oh, wonderful.
You've been an incredible guest. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing the story. I could tell by Bailey's reaction always. So that says a lot. A lot of smiles. Anyway, everybody listening, guys, thank you again for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We're going to try to bring some more of our members and some more everyday people who are just like you. Bailey, any parting thoughts?
No. Thanks for coming on, Ryan.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much, guys. Stay tuned for another great episode. And if you're a little newer to us, we did talk about an episode with Susan Nieberg. All you got to scroll back a little bit, but it's there. And Susan is incredible. You'll love it. Thank you.